see you also. And Donald Trump should be here to answer for that, but he's not. And I want to look at that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching. Okay. And you're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
All right.
And with that, you heard the lamest statement made at a debate in the last two decades. Good morning. It's the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Thanks for tuning in to Wham Talk Radio. Sarah Smith is womaning the news desk, as she always does. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Fingers.
So the Republicans got together for their second debate. All 62 of them got on stage. Many of them will try to convince you that they have a snowball's chance in hell of getting the nomination. That was Chris Christie calling Donald Trump Donald Duck. And after he uttered those words, Sarah, the smirk on his face.
It was can you imagine how many times he practiced that line in the mirror? Just imagine, you know, you just have to, he was sitting in his room in his mirror practicing that line. This is going to be my moment, my viral moment. I am going to break the internet with this incredible line.
It's gold, Jerry.
Gold, Jerry. And gold. So, he was so proud of himself. He got this little so pleased with himself smirk on his face.
And the audience, it was darn near close to a Jeb Bush please clap moment. Because people were so stunned at how lame that so lame. Donald Duck. I sat back and I watched that and I thought to myself, there are three or four people sitting around a room, probably sitting at a big table, Sarah, a big table with nice chairs, and they're coming up with things to say, little lines that they can feed Governor Chris Krispy Kreme for the debate. And someone who's paid a decent amount of money, I'm not going to say, a huge amount, because I got to imagine at this point, Chris Christie's campaign is being run on Groupons.
Right.
I'm sure the money is not exactly flowing in. Someone got paid to come up with that line.
Sure did. Yeah, they didn't necessarily get paid well, but they got paid.
Got paid. And Or Chris Christie came up with that line and no one had the courage in the room to say, psst, psst, psst.
This is not a good idea.
It's terrible. It's lame. It's lame. Lame.
Donald Duck.
Unreal.
Meanwhile, that was also the most explosive moment of the most boring evening ever. Now, there were a couple quarrels, I guess. I don't know. It's all so contrived and silly.
So here's the deal. I'll be completely honest with the Snark Factor audience, because I always am. Mm-hmm. I don't see the sense in watching these things. I really don't, because you've got too many people on the stage.
Yes.
It's way too early in the process. Three or four of those people may not even make it to the first primary. Or, you know, the caucuses,
right,
may not make it to Iowa. If they do make it to Iowa, they won't make it to New Hampshire. So a lot of it is just a waste to me. And then on top of it, you've got moderators who are asking questions that mean absolutely nothing to the American people, but they check off the list of things that they know their liberal pals will want to hear answers to.
Oh, I mean, the questions are even framed with liberal bias, right? There was a whole segment where they were asking Ron DeSantis to defend his school curriculum in Florida. And it's like, there's a way to bring up these topics so that the candidate has an opportunity to counter the spin that has been presented to the media about them. But that's not what they're doing. They're asking questions going, well, why don't you teach about Black history? I'm paraphrasing, but this is the whole...
Yeah.
The moderators were awful. The moral of this story is that the moderators were awful. The questions were awful. It was nothing of substance. There was nothing. Several of them, to their credit, DeSantis, Nikki, I think, did it. Several of them took the time to say, can we have like a substantive conversation about issues that care about the American people? We're sitting here listening to, you know, Tim Scott and Vivek go back and forth about how Vivek acted last debate. And yeah. can we get to the red meat here? Like, even the candidates were saying to the moderator, seriously, guys.
Well, at the end of the day, when are we going to start pointing our finger at the people who run the Republican Party?
Not soon enough. I'll tell you what, it's ridiculous.
I mean, there's Republican National Committee to allow this circus to go on and have the way this is formatted. Listen, I don't envy being a moderator at the debate, the job, when you've got 74 people on stage.
Right.
All trying to step on each other's toes. It's not easy. You got to be able to walk the fine line between letting them talk, but also not letting them completely take over. But at the end of the day, the format is set up for them to be able to take the whole thing over. So if that's going to happen, at least have some good questions.
Right.
At least you don't ask, hey, who would you give your last rose to?
The only thing more cringe than Chris Christie's Donald Duck line was that last question. They ended the night with the survivor.
Yeah. So Dana Perino asked the question, correct? And it was, which is disappointing because I think most people, center right, like Dana Perino.
Absolutely.
But it was disappointing. Basically, she asked the survivor question. If you were going to vote one candidate off the island, who would it be? And to his credit, Governor DeSantis said, I'm paraphrasing. What the heck kind of question is this?
Right.
It's not serving the American people or the other candidates on the stage well by going down this road.
They didn't even do. It would have been the perfect opportunity to allow each of them a 15 to 30 second closing argument. None of them even got to make their closing statement. And I would understand if as not part of the format for sake of time. Mm-hmm. But to your point, if you're doing things, if you're not allowing for closing statements, closing arguments, and then your questions need to be good.
Yes.
You don't waste time with the survivor question and then not give everybody a 15 second outro to make their case and say their website. Like, the leader. Is that the RNC or is that Fox, though? See, that's what I don't know, is who or both, like, I suppose. That are making these rules.
It just feels like the Fox debates are the worst debates.
Right. Right. And it's the opportunity for everybody to shine. And instead, it always ends up being a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Nikki Haley continues to annoy.
She had too many espressos before the date. She was like, the hand motions were like out of control.
At one point, there were reports that she had actually, because of the hand gestures, taken off.
She was levitating. She was floating at moments on stage. She just kept lifting herself up with her propeller arms.
She had a Billy Madison moment. She was talking to Vivek. And said, I get, paraphrasing, I get dumber. After hearing you speak. Something to that effect. And apparently she said it so fast. She's got a little bit of a fast talker problem.
I get dumber just hearing you speak.
I had to rewind it 3 times. Did she say, and then went to Twitter to confirm that, like, what I heard her say was what she said. It was crazy. Yeah, she had a lot of energy last night. And it's, and she had a couple good answers. It's not that she had a bad, she's just annoying. She's just annoying.
I won't say that because I don't want to be branded sexist, but.
No, I can tell. As a woman, I feel very comfortable in saying she's annoying.
So I how many times did she slip in as a woman during the debate?
Not that to my recollection.
Oh, because the first one.
I know. I'm so glad you asked that question.
I'm a woman. And I'll do it.
I don't want to say definitively no, but I can't recall her saying that. And I feel like I would have noticed it because I love making fun of that line. As a woman.
It's almost as bad as hearing as a libertarian.
Oh, God, you know you're in for it then. Oh, Lord.
And
bless the libertarian. Yes. The libertarian streak in me grows stronger every day. However.
Samesies. But you'll never hear me say, speaking as a libertarian.
And then they lower the glasses a little bit. And the pop frames their glasses. Those libertarians always end up being libertarians somehow. Always ends up. Once you dig off that first layer, you're actually a liberal herd. Good to know.
So debate was raging on, and meanwhile, Donald Trump was speaking to auto workers in Detroit at a non-union shop.
So now that I haven't watched yet. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, but when I heard a non-union shop, I thought to myself, I don't know if that's a good look.
Right. I was going to say, I'm like, is that how you want to play that, Donald? Are you sure? I do know that he made for the Michigan audience. I did happen to catch the first couple. It wasn't the first few minutes of the speech, and I haven't seen the whole speech, so I don't know where it lies exactly in the timeline. Mm-hmm. But he did make like a weed growing joke in Michigan.
Oh,
it was something to the effect he was making fun of Joe Biden's visit and how he's like, he didn't even know where he was. And he kept asking, where am I? And they'd be like, Michigan, sir. He'd be like, oh, what do they do in Michigan? Do they grow weed? It was a very awkward moment, but I said, oh, this is an interesting thing for me to catch. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. The speech was billed that he's going to be there to talk to auto workers during the United Auto Workers strike and to show up at a non-union plant.
Right.
It's an odd choice. But to be fair, it's not like any of the locals in the United Auto Workers are going to be inviting Donald Trump to be speaking. Yes,
that's a good point. What if they tried?
Yeah.
And were denied.
Biden did visit the picket lines in Detroit, and he pumped his fist by himself,
all on his own.
Yeah, didn't need any assistance.
No Weekend at Bernie-ing for him.
Yeah, but he did on Tuesday compare top automotive executives to the Axis powers. So,
wait, what?
Yeah. Which is it's a tricky line that you're walking to at one point try to get the American people behind your cause by saying, listen, there's corporate greed out there. The CEOs are making too much money. But also then comparing them to the, you know, Axis powers. And then when this is all over, say, oh, you know, all that stuff we were saying, just buy our cars. It's OK. We're all good now. It's
all is well.
It's weird.
Oh, but did I say Axis? See, what I meant was Allied is what I meant.
You guys. I'm easily confused. I'm
confused. Don't mind me. No, no.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Biden's America, more bad news when it comes to retail and chains deciding to close up shop. Target. Are you familiar with the Target, Sarah?
See, no, I'm not. I go to a place called Target.
Oh, fancy.
It's a little more upscale shopping. No, of course. I am very familiar with Target. I'm a big fan of their work. Wasn't Target being boycotted?
Yes, at one point they were being boycotted over, I believe they were going down the road of everyone can use the same dressing rooms. And
so they did the tuck friendly bathing suits.
Yeah.
And they did the whole thing. And the Okay. So
tell me the story
and I want to know.
Target says it will close 9 stores in major cities across 4 states because of theft and organized crime.
Well, because here's the thing. Their stock has been going down since this. Are they just blaming it on?
Well, I think it's probably both.
It could be things.
Yes.
Why not both?
Yeah, okay. they say that they've been struggling to contain store crimes that have hurt their bottom line.
Wow.
So the store's Target plans to close will shut their doors on October 21st. The stores include the East Harlem location in New York City, 2 locations in Seattle, 3 locations in Portland, and 3 locations in Governor Gavin Newsom's states of California, in San Francisco and Oakland.
Well, this is interesting. Look, these are all the cities that defunded the police.
Amazing.
Isn't that a fun little list?
Yes. So in Biden's America, we continue to see retailers saying we cannot stay open if we are not going to take shoplifting seriously, if we're not taking looting seriously, Sarah. And speaking of looting, in Biden's Philadelphia, Sarah, I don't know if you saw this.
I was watching videos of it online.
I believe it was Tuesday night in Philadelphia, looting, dozens arrested, including 3 juveniles, after stores were ransacked across the city. There was so much stupidity going on in Philadelphia. So videos were posted, and you teased that you watched some of these. I actually caught one. There's a, I guess there was a TikToker named Meat Soup.
Something to that effect. Meat sack, something.
Yeah. And she, famous TikToker, Sarah. She's TikTok famous.
Huge on TikTok.
Yes. Huge on TikTok. And so she was out in front of a liquor store. The clip that I saw
If you need to steal things in order to feed your family, where else would you go?
Well, you go to a liquor store and you knock out windows and steal all of the green martini olives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And very those nice. Weird That's... little onions that you can put in drinks and maraschino cherries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're all very nourishing.
For yes.
The family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're knocking down they got the metal garage door kind of the gate, like you remember in the movie Clerks, mm-hmm. where they had the little metal gate that someone stuck gum in the lock and they couldn't open it, and put a sheet written. It said, "I assure you, we're open." They had a bed sheet outside. Yeah, so they had those doors, but nobody was worried about gum stuck in the locks. They just knocked the doors in, and people were racing to get into the liquor store, as you said, to help feed their families and meaty meat. She was yelling as she was holding the camera up. She was very excited about the looting going on.
Oh yeah.
And she kept yelling, "Everybody gotta eat."
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gotta eat. Also said,
"Steady diet of vodka and Hennessy." Yeah.
She also said, "Everybody gotta eat. Everybody gotta eat." And that changed me. Mm-hmm. Just watching it. She got arrested, by the way, and people were upset because she was in 2023, I guess that's considered journalism. So she apparently was out there just reporting.
Right. Of course. Not at all encouraging it or cheering none of that. None of that, of course.
But I'm sure that she will be released with a written apology for being arrested.
She'll be given the key to the city.
Probably, yes. But what I found fascinating, they also, Sarah, they raided or they looted a Lululemon.
The workout clothes? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah, I think so. And this was what was most entertaining. They went in and they broke into an Apple store and they stole tons of iPhones and iPads. And then once they realized that there are anti-theft measures in place, there are anti-theft devices, there are whatever they do to prevent you from stealing the iPads and the iPhone. When they saw that it was pretty much worthless to steal these things, they just left them on the ground and destroyed them.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I feel like there's some sort of beeping that happens.
Yeah,
there's some sort of noise they emit.
Yeah,
and so the solution is just to smash them.
Smash, smash, smash.
All generation this, smash.
They were protesting a police officer who apparently shot someone, and they're saying it was a bad shoot. And so that's what was going on in Philadelphia. And of course, the media reported it as, well, that protest was peaceful. It was these other people that came out afterwards, these opportunists.
Yeah, I saw a headline that was riots follow mostly peaceful protest in Philadelphia. I'm like, oh,
in Biden's America.
There's two different groups of people, guys. So separate groups.
We'll be taking a break. We'll be back with more of the Snark Factor in Biden's America right here on Wham Talk Radio. This show is all about lava hot takes. It's raining hot takes here at the Snark Factor. And what I'm about to do is blow your mind with this hot take, lava hot take. I don't understand the Taylor Swift hate. Welcome back. It's the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Follow me on X. At Fingers Malloy. And follow Sarah on X. At Mama Swati. Also, Fingers Malloy Radio over at Facebook. And really all things fingers at fingersmalloy.com. That includes the Eat, Drink, Smoke radio program, the podcast. You can find that on fingersmalloy.com or on your favorite podcast platform. So I listen, I know a lot of conservatives are turned off by the NFL after the whole Colin Kaepernick thing and, you know, kneeling and during the national anthem. I get it. And, it, you know, I guess this is the point of the show where you can roll your eyes. Because as someone who's center right and much more right every day. From that perspective, let me just say, I don't care what you watch on TV. It's none of my business.
Doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever what you watch or don't watch.
You can point to how the NFL has gotten a little woke, and then I can point to all the great things that the NFL does for veterans and folks in uniform. They do a lot of good. They do some bad. You take the good. You take the bad. You take them both, and there you have the NFL. The NFL. But Sarah, so you are, as we all know, you are the resident Swiftie here over at the Snark Factor. I've never
been referred to as a Swiftie, and I feel really good about that.
So here's what's going on. If you aren't paying attention to the NFL,
just the world at large, because it's all right. That's going on anywhere.
So there is a tight end who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Many people have called him the Taylor Swift of the NFL, Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is a bit of an attention whore, and he hosts a podcast with his brother, Jason Kelce. Well,
I now know.
Yeah.
That he plays for the other side. That's what I know about him, is that he has a brother that plays for the other team.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes. Travis Kelce's brother's name is
Jarvis? Jimmy?
Jarvis?
Jackson? It doesn't matter. Because he's not he's not the Taylor Swift of the NFL. So anyway, Travis Kelce is a legitimate superstar in the NFL for tight ends.
It is. Yes.
At the end of the day,
it's Jason. I just got it confirmed. It is Jason Kelce is the brother.
So I was right.
And they have a podcast together. Yes, you were right off the jump.
Always. You know what? Two things I always say, Sarah, follow your heart and follow your gut. Say it all the time.
Can't go wrong.
Right. So Travis Kelce, all pro tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, apparently, I believe they're seeing each other, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, pop superstar Taylor Swift. I believe the kids say they're talking.
They're talking.
Yeah, they're talking.
There's all sorts of speculation about what the extent of this relationship is.
Yes, and it's fascinating. But to me, so she showed up at the Kansas City Chiefs home game against the evil Chicago Bears. And the evil Chicago Bears got put in their place. They lost, I believe, 41-10. It was ugly. I was watching the game in Central Indiana, and it was so bad that Fox was broadcasting the game, and at halftime, as they were going into the third quarter, they said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're going to send you off to the Dallas Cowboys Arizona Cardinals game. And if the Chicago Bears show any signs of life, we will send it back to Kansas City. But this game is so horrible, we're not even going to show you any part of the third quarter.
Right.
It was bad. Well, the big news, Sarah, was that Taylor Swift was at the game in one of the luxury suites at Arrowhead Stadium with Travis Kelce's mother.
Sitting next to Travis Kelce's mother.
Yes.
Chatting with Travis Kelce's mother. Laying it on heavy and thick with Travis Kelce's mother. And so this appearance sparked, because there had been rumors and there had been speculation and there had been, because as you mentioned, they on the podcast, Travis Kelce invited, like he said that he went to her concert and he wanted to give her a bracelet,
friendship bracelet. Yes.
And a purity ring that he didn't get to give her one because he was going to give her a friendship bracelet with his number on it. And it was a whole thing. And then we find out that she's at the game.
Mm-hmm.
She is at the game. Did you know that Taylor Swift has more fans than all of the NFL, like, or followers on social media, just her, than like all of the NFL teams put together?
Wow.
Did you know that Taylor Swift is going to reignite and reinvigorate America's love for football? Did you know that Taylor Swift's lucky number is 13? And you know what happens when you add 87 and 13? You get 100. And that's math. This is all meant to be. This is both of their careers have reached this culminating point where this is it. You guys, this is everything is coming together. Anyone who knows anything about Taylor Swift, you know, she's a master manipulator. She like, she admits it. She got years out planning things. This homegirl invited the senior class of her high school to come see her win her country music award because they were so mean to her at school about how she was going to be a famous singer. She invited them all to come watch her win all of her awards at the Country Music Awards. The kids that were freshmen when she was a senior, when they were seniors, they all got to go and watch her become a superstar. She does it in good ways. She makes puzzles. She creates like riddles and puzzles for her fans to find, like to discover and figure out. Man, she has got to be the most organized. I just imagine her in her house with like notebooks everywhere and plans.
You say her and her husband?
No, her in her house.
Oh.
With notebooks and plans and organizers and all this stuff. She does crazy things. And I don't mean crazy or manipulative in a bad way. She just plans stuff out.
I had no idea. See, I was kind of joking around that Swiftie.
I know a lot about Taylor Swift. Well, I know so much about Taylor Swift, but I've only learned it all in the last 2 months.
Okay,
don't think this is new.
Here's what I don't understand. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has to do with right wing social media. As we all know, social media, the Twitters, X. isn't real. It's not real life.
Sure,
but I'm not even going to, the person's name. But it all started with some right wing thought leader writing a piece that said, I believe that Taylor Swift is a mid with money.
A mid with money. I don't know what that means.
Not very good looking. Kind of.
Oh, I've seen things like that. Something about Travis Kelce scoring a six.
Yes.
Which is like a fixed football term.
Yeah. And then now all of a sudden you've got all of these conservatives like bagging on her looks. And first of all, I'm sorry.
Adorable.
She's hot. I'm sorry. You see her on stage wearing the things that she wears and you're like, she's 33.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not going to feel creepy by saying a 33-year-old is hot. She's hot.
She is hot. She's a hottie bow body.
But I'm just seeing all this stuff. It's like, okay, I don't understand why we have to engage in things like this. Are we just all supposed to listen to Pat Boone Is that what this is? It's yes, like, yes. I understand that she weighed in into politics and said some things that right wingers don't agree with. And by the way, I'm a right winger, too.
Right.
But I just refuse to get sucked into all of this. There are going to be people out there who disagree with me politically.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be times when they say things, and if they're a singer, I'll say, for crying out loud, just sing the stupid song. What was that Laura Ingraham's book? Shut Up and Sing or something like that.
Right, right.
It's like, just something sing like the that. Song. I don't just care sing. What your political beliefs are. But at the bottom line is, okay, so what?
Right.
So we go into attacker looks. I just don't, it just feeds into everything that lefties say about the right. It's, oh, okay, yeah. You're going to immediately go after her looks. Which sounds ridiculous, by the way.
It really does. One of the most beautiful people in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah,
but then on top of it, it's like her songs, Shake It Off.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want your kids to be listening to? Would you rather have listened to Shake It Off or Wet Ass Hmm?
Right, exactly.
Would you rather have them listening to Wet Ass on a loop or Shake It Off by Taylor Swift?
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. So we're gonna get sucked into this now. I just don't I understand pushing back against the hype train. I watched the first half of the Kansas City Chiefs Chicago Bears game, and every 3 minutes it was Taylor Swift.
The hype is out of control. I mean, the internet is nothing but videos of guys on the field seeing her up in the box, or there's Travis Kelce saying, oh, she's right there when he saw her up there, and everything. There's nothing about the game. You go to the NFL on Fox. You can go to my Twitter at Mama Swati if you want to see these images.
Excuse me.
Well, I'm sorry. You can go to my X.
Thank you.
At Mama Swati, if you want to see these, or you can go to NFL Fox on Facebook.
Yeah.
The blue check mark, NFL Fox. They make a graphics on Monday and Tuesday for all the games. And the graphic for the Pittsburgh Steelers game is JJ Watt. Is that his first? Is JJ Watt? TJ. TJ Watt?
TJ Watt. JJ Watt, Watt is the retired football player.
Okay, so TJ Watt. See, I'm trying to learn the sports ball. Now that I'm a Taylor Swift fan, I need to learn about football so that I can be fully engaged in all of this. So the NFL on Fox on Facebook has made a graphic for the Pittsburgh Steelers game, and it's two football players playing football with the football and the score on the bottom. And then you go a little further down their page and it's from the Cardinals. And it's one of the guys from Arizona Cardinals catch it, holding the football and the score of the game. And then you go to the next graphic and it's for the Kansas City Chiefs game. And it's a picture of Taylor Swift clapping in the box with the score at the bottom. And I'm going, well, I mean, you couldn't have at least done a picture of Travis Kelce catching a touchdown. I mean, really? This is the picture we choose? Taylor Swift clapping?
To be fair, that's about the only real highlight of the game.
Right.
41-10. You know, if you're a Bears fan, you'd rather be seeing that.
Right.
Over 24 million people tuned in.
That's amazing.
For the game.
It's amazing, man. It's the Swift effect, man.
You know who's not getting 24 million people tuning in? Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, John Oliver, Seth Meyers, all of them combined don't get those numbers. Not even
late-night television is dead.
So the talk shows are making a return. The late night talk shows after the end of the screenwriter strike. Most of them will be returning on Monday. And I have to tell you, you see the numbers for these guys. And you think back to, you know, Johnny Carson. And I know it's a whole different world back then. There weren't, 700 channels and there weren't smartphones in people's hands. But a lot of these hosts struggled to get over a million viewers in a night.
Right.
And it's been a steady decline. And some would argue it's because we have more entertainment options out there. Others would argue that it's one-sided political humor every night and they've alienated half the audience.
Right.
I think it's a little bit of both, with a lot more of the alienating half of the audience more than there are other options out there.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, Sarah, I don't know who is clamoring to have these shows back. I mean, are people saying to themselves, man, I cannot wait for Seth Meyers to be back on television?
Right. I have not known what to do with my evenings without my late night hosts around. Now, I don't know anyone, even in non-political circles, that watch late night television. And even people who do, they don't watch it. They watch the clips. They follow the Jimmy Fallon show on Instagram or TikTok or whatever and watch the clips that are posted the next morning when they get up.
Yeah.
Because why sit down and watch a live TV commercials?
Exactly.
Content longer than 90 seconds? I mean, please, you want me to pay attention to something for longer than a...
That's crazy talk.
Crazy talk. And not to mention, but again, and it's not even necessarily that it's one-sided. Like, I can't imagine liberals and the left and progressives right now are in the good people are in charge phase of their existence, right? Like, where they get to like not think about politics or worry about it because the good people are in charge, just doing everything that they in their minds want them to do, right?
Yes.
So they don't want to hear about it. Like, even they don't want to hear the slant.
Well, my thing about the late night hosts, I'll never forget it. I was watching Saturday Night Live in 2017.
Oh God!
No! I'm sorry. No, it was 2015, and they were doing Sarah Palin jokes on Weekend Update. I thought to myself,
Tina Fey is a great writer. She's made some great movies, but she is a one trick pony when it comes to performances.
Back then it was called Twitter. I tweeted at the time, like, it's 2015, and they're still doing Sarah Palin jokes. Because they were too cowardly to make any jokes about a bomb.
Right.
And so, you know, even before we got into, close to being the presidential season again, presidential election cycle, it's if you're going to tell a joke, it's Trump, even though you've got a buffoon in office right now who gives them tons of material every week that they can bag on. And it's like, can't do that. He's a Democrat.
Yep. Kamala Harris,
Kamala?
Nothing, guys. They've got somebody who does an impersonation of her and like, it's not even funny. It's just.
Yeah.
I mean, the opportunity's right there. No, but I mean, it's because it's boring because they're not actually making any jokes. They're campaigning for the Biden-Harris ticket.
Yeah. So.
Late night television's dead is the moral of that story. I just bookended that whole thing.
You tied a little bow on it. That's what you did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can't tie a little bow on scammers at gas pumps, though, because this is the thing. This is the latest thing they're doing. They're drilling holes into gas pump payment machines.
Wow.
So, you know, where you can tap and pay if you've got your card is capable of doing the tap and pay.
My card is capable of doing that, but I still do the chip. I'm just not good with new technology, and it took me so long to get the chip thing down that I'm like, now you want me to what?
Police are warning the public about this payment process. Some of the gas stations are moving toward contactless payment systems, which is designed to cut down on skimming and ID theft. However, scammers are drilling holes in contactless payment screens and damaging the sensor. The holes force customers to swipe the card for paint system.
Oh,
and that's where they place the skimming devices. Yes. So if you are going to tap, if you're going to try to tap, and then you see that there is a hole in the middle of the device, and it's, of course, it's small. They use a small drill bit to go in there and destroy it. Then you know that you should not use that pump. You should.
Well, it sounds like if you wouldn't even be able to, like, you go to tap and it wouldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Right. So just there, right there. Don't even worry. If you don't see a hole, but it's not working, just go to a different pump.
Yeah.
Just don't even risk it for the biscuit. You know what I mean, guys? Just like, if it's saying you've got to swipe it, don't swipe it. Was it just swiping or is it chip too? Am I in trouble?
Swipe. Oh, I think it's the chip too, but definitely the swiper, no swiping.
Swiper, no swiping.
So Fox News came out with a piece about phone etiquette.
Okay.
And it cracked me up because, you know, I had a list of things that you should do with your phone, you know, as far as, say, voicemail use, how to make it work for both parties. Voicemails are still relevant, according to this expert. But when leaving a voicemail, Sarah, you need to speak clearly and concisely. Okay. And
no one leaves voicemails.
Well, that's yeah. You're supposed to you say your name and call back number first in case you accidentally get cut off. My thing with this, Sarah, how many times do you call someone? Like cold call them? Like, it's one thing if you're expecting a call, but I cold called a friend the other day. Hadn't talked to her in a long time, and it felt like 1999 all over again.
I love that the cold call used to just be reserved for like sales, right? Like that was something that happened in the sales world where you cold called people, where you just called them and offered them a service that you were selling. And now it's like we do that with people we know. You didn't just call your friend, you cold called them.
Yes.
So calling someone requires a text communication prior to prepare
right.
for said phone call. And yeah. now that you say that, I get those texts all the time like, hey, I'm going to be sitting down in 10 minutes. Are you free to talk? Can I call you? And I never thought about it until this very second that's a necessary thing. When I call somebody, I just call them.
Mm. Wow.
I do it all the time.
That's gutsy.
But I also never call anybody. I have three people that I call.
Yeah,
and
we
talk for like an hour and like once a month or whatever when the mood strikes. But everybody else is all text and DMs.
Yeah, exactly. So
cold calling.
I'm not alone then. I'll tell you what, if I see my phone ring, first of all, I don't answer my phone at all unless
even if it's someone you know.
If it's someone I know and say if you're calling.
Okay.
But you and I don't call to chit chat. We call, you know, it's business. Business.
Right, right. And you know that I'm just going to be like, here's what I've got. Boom.
Yeah, boom. Right. Then I'll answer. But if it's somebody I haven't heard from in a long time.
Yeah.
Let it go to voicemail.
Yeah. But then they won't leave a voicemail and then you have to call them back to see what they wanted. Or you don't have
then
to.
Then you shoot them a text.
You shoot them a text. Oh, hey, sorry, I missed you. What's up?
And we're going to miss you because we have to go. We'll be back next week with an all-new Snark Factor on Talk Radio.